investigative reporter Jack Sharp is down to his last chance. Fired from his high-profile gig with a national news channel, his only lead is a phone full of messages from a grad student named Tori Justice, who swears she's observed an impossible result in a local election. Sharp is sure she's mistaken, but what if she isn't? Sharp learns that the person behind the hack is determined to turn American politics upside down. David Pepper is the creator of Jack Sharp. Jack has been featured in David's other books, The People's House and The Wingman. His new book is called The Voter File. Your new novel, The Voter File, could not be more prescient or cautionary, especially since we're in a presidential election year. Could you tell us more about it?
Yeah, so it's about a number of things. You know, troubles in journalism, unfortunately, is one of the themes. The importance of elections up and down the ballot, because there's a lot at stake in your state house races and other races. But it also, you know, there's a lot of discussion of foreign interference and meddling elections the last couple of years. I wrote a book a few years ago before 2016 that got into the prospect of a Russian meddling, and that ended up being, unfortunately, too close to reality. But this book gets into another aspect of a real risk that people should pay attention to and guard against, which is even without touching a voter machine or a ballot, and there's discussion out there about all that stuff, some of which is worrisome, others are frankly just nonsense. But you can, you know, if people got their hands around the key data in campaigns that are essentially the playbook of a campaign, you know, that's a real problem, and that could really be used against campaigns and to change outcomes. And, you know, it's a novel, it's a story, and I'm trying to entertain, but it's also something to think about, especially if you're a campaign or a candidate. You want to make sure that your key data, your key game plans are well protected.
Yeah, so let's hear about these voter files. What are they, and how are they used in elections?
So a voter file is essentially, like any organization, it's the database, but in this case, it's the database of voters that a political party or a campaign spends an entire campaign fine-tuning, modernizing, updating, so that at the end of the day, they know exactly which voters they want to turn out and call. They know which voters they need to persuade. They understand which voters are dead set against them. And, you know, that every year this stuff gets more sophisticated. I actually think voters, when they read the book, will actually be troubled by how much information are in these databases. And it's something I think the political world needs to really think about, how to keep them protected and make sure we're not doing things inappropriate in terms of privacy. But it also ends up being the game plan, or think of it as the playbook, like a football team. These voter files end up being ultimately the crown jewel of a campaign. It's their playbook. And we saw this in 16, this company called Cambridge Analytica, where it's really tracking data on voters. This is basically exploring that more and showing that obviously, you know, hacking emails was bad enough. But if people ever got their hands on the ultimate voter file and database on voters, that's even more of a risk. And it's obviously, that ends up being the heart of the book is what happens when that happens.
Election fraud gets brought up a lot as a political taking sides issue, though it's been shown time and again how rare it actually is. So how real is the threat of election hacking or meddling from outside the United States?
I think the overall fear of meddling in elections is real. I mean, I know that and I try and write these books, by the way, to be nonpartisan. I'm not trying to pick a fight in a partisan way. I want people to think about these issues broadly. This book is a story about what would happen if they succeeded in getting their arms around the key data of a campaign and what they could do with that. But it's real. I mean, there's, you know, I know there's a lot of politics around this, and our president says it's fake news. But the truth is, we can debate all day who knew what, was there collusion? But there's no contest, no debate that Russia did a lot to to try and get, you know, impact 2016, and they're already planning to do it again for 2020.
You're listening to author David Pepper here on What We're Reading. David's new book is a suspenseful political thriller about a plot to hack America's elections. It's called The Voter File. David, tied in with the foreign hacking of our elections in the novel, is a plot to buy up America's lands, resources, and intellectual property. Is this a real-life concern or just a really great plot device?
So no, this is, I'd say, part of the, this is more fiction than real. So there's a big part of the book that is also something that's a real concern. I don't think it'll shock a lot of people. It won't shock farmers in your neck of the woods. The book tries to get into the real risk of monopolies and large concerns dominating the American economy. And a couple of the scenes play out where a dairy farmer in Wisconsin, a lot of my book takes place actually in Wisconsin, or a soybean farmer in Ohio, are basically giving up because they can no longer compete. And these are family farms in a world of large corporate concerns running agriculture, running banks, running other areas, journalism too. And so I sort of turn that into this broader plot about people trying to break up that system, including people from the outside who can't get into the American economy because of the dominance of these companies. So I try and get into this real world economic challenge, and that ends up being a heart of the plot. Now, by the way, there is also a real issue that a lot of under this corporate sort of dominance of a lot of our areas, there is a lot more foreign ownership of our food supply and other industries than people would think. Now, folks may know that, but we're seeing it even play out with this pandemic, that all of a sudden, you know, we can't get enough testing. We don't have enough supplies. Well, a lot of it's because it's manufactured overseas or owned by companies in other countries. And so some of this also is a concern that if people understood how much of our food or medicine or other things are owned or run by foreign entities or companies, it is a concern. So it's partly the plot, but it partly draws on real data and real research. But I really try and capture, and I think this would be interesting to readers up there. I really do try and capture the reality of today's economy, which is that individual family farms and other type of smaller businesses really struggle to keep up in this tough, tough economy that's dominated by monopolies. And that made them, in my book, susceptible to others coming in trying to buy them up at a cheap price because they're giving up. And I think that's a real concern. And, you know, we've seen in the last year with the trade wars. I mean, I don't want to speak to what's happening in Minnesota, but I know Wisconsin has really struggled with dairy. In Ohio, it's not just dairy, it's soybean farms, it's corn. I mean, our farmers are really struggling. And so this book tries to get into that struggle.
Jack Sharp, your protagonist, is a reporter and a relatively moderate nonpartisan in this book. Can you tell us more about him and how you kind of towed the line of moderation with this character?
So my goal is to have this be a book that all readers can access and get through and not feel like this is just a partisan take of the world. And one of the more interesting things since I've been starting with these books is that I've had many book club meetings where both Republicans and Democrats attend, and we actually have really good conversations about the books, but also politics. And I've found that if people are approaching the conversation because they read a book they all read, it's actually a much better conversation than if everyone walks into a room with their partisan hat on. And Jack Sharp helps with that because he grew up a Republican. His dad was a Republican state legislator. And he was more of a moderate, you know, let's say his dad was more like an old George H.W. Bush Republican or an Eisenhower Republican. And that's kind of Jack Sharp's background. And he's troubled by the parts of the party that have gone too far for him. So he's in the middle. Also in the book, there are Republicans who do some not so good things and others that are admirable. And there's some Democrats who are the same. And so I try and bring to this a narrator as well as characters that that allow for a you know, there's certainly no doubt some of my viewpoints on things as a, in my day job, but in the book I try and make sure that I'm not having it be such a sort of it feel partisan or even feel like it's a soapbox. Jack Sharp has strong views on things, but they are things that I think will strike people as not just about one party's view. He's a journalist. He tries to bring a straight shot, as you know, he tries to be a straight shooter on his views on things. He's looked at politics for decades. He has seen how it changes, and he's kind of, you know, he's down on the system for the same reason a lot of people are down on the system, whatever party they're in. And I hope that makes these stories feel to people like they are not just from one party's perspective. And for the most part, I've achieved that in my feedback. I've had very few people who've read my books and said, "Oh, these seem too partisan." Most of my experiences, again, in book clubs in particular, have been very positive. That somehow through a book, in the conversation from a book, we can have far more, you know, productive conversations than if someone was just giving a political speech.
You mentioned your day job. Some may know you as an author, the creator of Jack Sharp, but others know you as a politician. You've held state elected office in Ohio and are currently serving as the chair of the state DNC. You've also done international work in Russia and at a Washington think tank. So what prompted you to turn to fiction writing?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I was a journalist also back in college. I did a lot of college journalism. So I've always done a lot of writing, but never fiction writing. But for some of the reason I said, I thought, as someone who's run for office and has talked very seriously and earnestly about issues like the problem of how much gerrymandering of congressional districts distorts our politics, I feel like so much of our country talks only to themselves, and we're always preaching to our own choirs. And I thought, I thought I could write a fun story, but I also thought maybe a story that doesn't just take sides politically, maybe a story can better capture to a broader audience some of the issues that are underlying, and leading to problems in politics better than some nonfiction book where only the people who already agree with me will read it. And that was, you know, in addition to wanting to tell a good story, and I think people who read these books generally feel like they're page turners, which is good. But my hope is, and has always been, that by writing it through fiction, I'm able to tell it in a way that gets a broader audience. And I've had people who, including my own family, who aren't that political, say to me after reading my book, because frankly, they're my family, "Wow, I never knew that was such a problem. I never thought about this issue before. I learned something about, you know, this issue." That is when I think, okay, I achieved my goal in writing it through creative writing and fiction, as opposed to just, you know, me saying what I think in a nonfiction way, which people would read but wouldn't maybe change minds or lead to broader thinking about some of our problems.
David Pepper is the author of The Voter File, available now. This is What We're Reading on 91.7 KAXE, 90.5 KBXE. I'm Tammy Bobrowski.